Chapter 5. Margie Peach follows a giddy bloodlust scent. Now why is a young black girl hitching a ride out of Barstow, California at this time of the night and in times like these? Was the first question in Margie Peach's head when she saw the girl standing by the side of the highway with one arm raised. Margie Peach wanted to know the answer badly enough that she pulled over. But she watched to make sure the girl didn't pick up a companion or two on her way to the car. She had heard stories about how young girls were used as bait, so when a kind and unsuspecting motorist stopped to help, here comes an ambush of men from the bushes, men with names like D-Money or Smoothie, to rape and to rob. Thankfully, nobody jumped from the bushes this time. She unlocked the passenger side door and the girl got in. Margie Peach locked the doors again. She flipped the dome light on to get a better look and thought, holy moly, this girl is pregnant. 9 months at least. Maybe she's hitching a ride straight to the hospital. It wouldn't surprise me. This girl is bound to have a story. I, too, have a story.
I wish you would turn that light off, the girl said. Aren't we going to drive?
I'm Margie Peach, and I breed whiptail lizards, Margie Peach said. What are you doing? Why are you trying to catch a ride out here in the middle of the night? It seems unwise. Anybody could come along.
What's wrong with your eye? The girl said.
It's called strabismus, Margie said. My type is called exotropia. It does not affect my driving in any way. I've adapted.
What about your hands?
I think you are a very impertinent girl.
I'm just asking, the girl said. I guess most people don't ask. I guess most people just stare.
It's called arthrogryposis, Margie said. Maybe you should get another ride.
My baby thinks you're all right, the girl said.
That's so, Margie said.
Yes, it is, the girl said. Do you want to give me a ride or not?
I don't know why I'd stop if I didn't intend to give you a ride, Margie said. Margie turned the dome light off. She put the car in gear and pulled back on the highway.
I'm going to Nephilim, the girl said. It's on the bay. My boyfriend went on ahead. His name is Lix Tetrax and he's expecting me. He'll be happy to see me, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm,
Margie said. I guess he misses you.
Yes, he does.
The girl said these last words as if daring Margie Peach to challenge her. Margie let it go.
I'm going to San Francisco myself, she said. When I get there, I'm going to stay at the famous Intercontinental Hotel. I'm going to drink a cherry Coke at the top of the mark. It's been my dream ever since I saw it in a movie, and now that I've lost my job, I'm going to do it before I run out of money and never have the chance. I can get you pretty close to where you're going, I guess. Whatever, the girl said, and yawned.
Margie Peach did not feel rebuffed. She was used to people being rude to her. She forgave the girl right away, because after all, wouldn't anyone be a little short-tempered if they happened to find themselves enormously pregnant, alone in the dark and hundreds of miles away from where they wanted to be? Margie wanted to help. She resolved to keep asking the girl questions. She wanted to know the girl's story. Maybe there would be time to tell the girl her own story, too. But before Margie could think of how to begin the conversation, the girl had fallen asleep. Margie didn't even know her name. She slapped on the radio. The voice of the president came on. He was giving a speech. Margie turned it up loud enough for the president's stuffy summer cold voice to wake the dead. The girl slept on. Margie turned the radio off. With nothing left to do, Margie began to tell herself her own story in her head. She never seemed to get it exactly right. She was always making herself out to be the hero or the villain. They were coming up on the infamous town of San Bernardino. Margie Peach woke the girl with a shake to the shoulder. She felt taken advantage of by this pregnant, sullen girl. She felt like an unpaid chauffeur.
Welcome to San Bernardino, she said. I need a break. Just let me out when you get off the highway, the girl said.
No, Margie said.
you could use a break, too. No one is going to come along at this time of night. Look, there's no other traffic except for truckers, and believe me, you want to avoid that sort. I'll buy you a meal. I can do that. It's the least I can do. It's no trouble at all. We're going the same way. You shouldn't be out in the dark, a young girl in your condition. You shouldn't be wandering around in the middle of the night. The world isn't safe. It'll be light soon. Just let me out at the exit. It's no trouble, Margie said, and patted the girl's knee in a way she meant to be reassuring. Let me out this second, the girl said, and she opened the door, just a little, but as they were speeding along at 70, the wind howled through the crack and the car veered left. Stop that! Shut the door, Margie said. The girl pulled the door shut, but she kept hold of the handle. Here's the exit, the girl said. Slow down, slow down. Margie slowed down. She used her turn signal. She exited the highway smoothly. Look, there's a sign for a Denny's, Margie said. They're always open. Come on, I'll buy you a blueberry waffle and a Dr. Pepper, and then we can go on. I should have a coffee myself. I want to help you. It's stupid to be standing in the dark when God knows what is out there. Margie Peach drove as gently as she could so she wouldn't alarm the girl again. She drove right up to the front entrance of the Denny's. She could see the waitress, a kindly-looking woman with an enormous bust line, and she was topping off the coffee for a customer sitting by the window. The girl got out. Just tell me your name, at least, Margie Peach said. Stella, the girl said, and then she slammed the door and went inside without looking back. Her lack of gratitude made Margie feel cynical. I sure could use a pit stop after all this driving, Margie thought. I should go right in there and buy myself a coffee. It's still a couple of hours until dawn. A coffee would do me good. I deserve a rest. I don't need to sit with Stella. But Margie felt hurt and unappreciated, so instead of going inside, she backed out and kept going. Soon she began to regret it. She had been driving too long, and she was tired, and her strabismus was acting up. She had begun to see double again. Oddly enough, as her vision grew more impaired, her sense of smell improved. She could smell very well indeed. She could smell the exhaust fumes coming in through her closed window. She could smell the remains of a strawberry milkshake she had spilled in the front seat of her car 3 years ago. She could smell her own body. Her hands lost their grip on the steering wheel. No longer could she grasp the wheel with any strength at all, and the car began to swerve. Pull over, pull over, she told herself. The shoulder was wide. She pulled over and cut the engine. She opened her door and flopped out, barely able to stand. As a matter of fact, she could not stand any longer. She dropped to her knees, or to her paws, rather, and she ran from the car without a second thought and into the grassy field next to the highway. And she was happy, and she kept running, running, her throat and mouth and body filled with the giddy bloodlust scent of the 16 cows asleep in the high grass a mile away. The rest of the night was a blur.